And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then we go forward to verse 19 and read further from there. Now this is the testimony of John when Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water." Amen. We close our reading at verse 31 of this first chapter of John. So that the passage we're looking at this evening from God's Word is verses 6 to 13 of John chapter 1. So it's a slightly longer passage than I've taken up to now, but I want to cover these verses just this evening in this message. It's a well-documented fact of history that the 17th century Italian physicist and astronomer Galileo Galilei was accused of heresy by the Roman Catholic establishment of his day for holding the belief that the earth revolves around the sun rather than the sun revolving around the earth. Galileo's book on the subject was placed on the index of forbidden books. It was not allowed to be published and distributed. He was regarded as a heretic by the Roman Catholic establishment of his day. He spent the rest of his life under house arrest and was made to agree that he wouldn't teach heresy anymore. And it took 300 more years for the Roman Catholic establishment to admit that Galileo was right and to clear his name of heresy. And that's just one example of how a religious establishment can get it very wrong. But the example of Galileo pales into significance compared to the greatest injustice of all. And that is how the religious establishment of the time of the Lord Jesus got it so wrong when he who is the light appeared. And it's only when we get to verse 14 of John chapter 1 that we find John telling his audience about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. But even before he gets to that, in the previous section, verses 6 to 13, John is already telling us that in spite of God sending someone to prepare people to receive Christ the light, the majority didn't receive him. God sent a man to prepare people before the light would come and take on human flesh. He sent a man to prepare people's hearts to receive him. Now something big is going to happen soon. The light of the world, the one who created the world and everything in it, he is going to come into this world and appear as a man. And John the Baptist is the man who was called to prepare people's hearts. And part of the passage we read earlier is about John preparing the hearts of the religious establishment, the Pharisees and others, for the coming of Christ into this world. Just as Galileo had a few who were prepared to believe him, there were a few who did believe in Christ when he came to the saving of their souls. And John in this passage is speaking about different people. In fact, there are three categories of people in this passage, and that's how I've chosen to look at the passage, by just thinking of three categories of people. There is one, the first group, in fact, is just a person, and it's the person we can call the revealer of the light. It's the person I've just mentioned, John the Baptist. He is a revealer of the light. And that's who's spoken about in verses 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The writer of the gospel account here, John the disciple, is not the John that's mentioned. John is writing about another John, John the Baptist. This is the John he's speaking about. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. In that verse, a better word for witness in verse 7 there would be the word testimony. John bore testimony of the light. John was specially commissioned by God to draw attention to Christ as the light, to reveal him before everyone as the true light who had come into the world. In verses 26 and 27 of this chapter, John tells the Pharisees, "There stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." It's as though we can hear a drum roll as John's explaining, "There is one here among us, and I am nothing compared to him." And we could picture the anticipation of the crowd and of the Pharisees. Who is this person? Is this the Messiah? And John, as it were, is preparing them for receiving him. He's here. He's not yet revealed, but he will be revealed to you in due course. And so we find John here revealing a certain information about Christ the light. John the Baptist himself is not the light. He has made that clear. He says, no, I am baptizing, but I am not the one. I am not the prophet. I am not the Messiah. But John the Baptist has been sent to reveal who that Messiah is, who the light really is. John, in this passage, hasn't yet fully identified him, but he has stated that he has come and he is among us. And later in the chapter, in verse 29, John the Baptist reveals who the light is. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one who was to come, and he has come. If he's able to take away the sin of the world, he is the light who has come into the world. And to make sure all understand the credentials of this Lamb of God, John says in verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then in verse 31, John says, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. John came baptizing with water in order that Christ would be revealed. The water with which John baptized symbolized cleansing, which implied people were unclean. They were unclean spiritually, and they needed cleansed from sin. That's what John's baptism was symbolizing. Not that John was the person who could cleanse them for their sin, but he was communicating the fact that there is a need for cleansing from sin. And this gave John the opportunity to reveal Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the light who has come into the world to cleanse people from sin and to make them right with God. Now, it's not that the light wasn't there before John was commissioned to reveal him. Verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made through him. We mustn't get the idea that the Son of God only came when Jesus took on humanity. The Son of God is eternal, and he has always been in this world since he created this world. And verse 10 is really telling us that Christ was in the world invisibly before he was born of the Virgin Mary. But in John's day, something new would happen and something special would happen. He would take upon himself a human nature and he would appear as a man. And when he did, John the Baptist was tasked with revealing him to people as the light to whom they must look in order to be saved. As the second person of the Trinity, Christ is still in this world and is still the light all people need. And every minister of the gospel has been called by God to reveal him, to set him forth in the preaching of the gospel, so that people may believe in him and receive him, just as John the Baptist urged people to believe in him and received him when he was physically present in this world. J.C. Ryle, commenting on verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, says, ignorant, blind, and unconverted ministers may be ordained and sent by man, but they are not sent from God. And that's a sobering thought for those who are ministers. We mustn't miss our calling. Our calling, my calling, is to reveal Christ to you, reveal Christ to the world, to set him forth that people who hear what is spoken from the pulpit will hear Christ, will see Christ, and will believe in Christ to the salvation of their souls. So John was a revealer of the light when that light took upon himself humanity in the world. The second group we find mentioned in this passage is people who didn't perceive Christ as the light when he was revealed. And in this regard, we consider, secondly, the rejecters of the light. There was, first of all, the revealer of the light. Secondly, we have the rejecters of the light. John reiterates something in the second half of verse 10 he has said earlier, and which he touched on in verse 5. In verse 10, John says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Even though he was in the world, and the world was made through him, the world did not know him. Although the light, the Son of God, was in the world invisibly before the incarnation, the world did not know him. At that time, he was to be seen in his works of creation and providence, and in his governing of all things he had made. If only men would acknowledge him, would believe in him, and obey him, but they didn't know him, and they did not want to know him. That was before his incarnation. But then in verse 11, John says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And here John is speaking about the unbelief of the Jewish nation after the incarnation. And that is even less excusable. It's one thing for him to have been the eternal Son of God in the world and for the whole world to acknowledge him. But it's something even more for him to come into this world, to take on human nature and be in the world and be a part of a people who, from times past, from Old Testament times, were his own people, whom he had chosen, as we've seen at our morning services, deliver them out of Egypt. It's something else for that people not to know him, not to acknowledge him, not to receive him, not to want to have anything to do with him except to harm him. And as we know, that is what happened. His own people rejected him. Of all the people who should have received the light, it was the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. They were his own people long before his incarnation. He had redeemed them from Egypt. He brought them into the land of Canaan. He gave them the law and the covenants as their very own possession. And the expectation would be that if he should appear among them in person as one of their own, they would welcome him with open arms. Yet when he did appear in person as one of their own, John says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Not only did they not receive him, they despised him. And their hatred of him grew more and more until they could bear him no longer, and they plotted to put him to death. And as we know, they did put him to death. And it gets even worse. The very people of the nation who put him to death were the religious establishment of his day. Judas can be blamed. The secular rulers can be blamed. Pilate can be blamed. Herod can be blamed. But really, had the religious leaders not judged him in the first place and condemned him, Pilate and Herod would never have had any cause to condemn him to death. They weren't able to find any sin in him. The Jewish Sanhedrin and the religious leaders turned the people against him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected the light. Well, you would think by now the world would have learned its lesson from all of this. Is the world any better today in regard to how it relates to Jesus Christ the light? The world can speak of the injustice of the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Most people today who believe that Jesus was a real man also concede that he did not deserve to be put to death on a cross. That's generally, if you meet someone and they say, well, I really don't believe everything in the Bible, but I believe Jesus was a good man. There are many people like that. They think he was a good man. And really, they think that what the Jews did with him was inexcusable. It was wrong. And they maybe put it down to a big mistake that they made. But do they? Does that person you're speaking to, do you then receive Jesus as the light? And you see, this is where there is great hypocrisy in this world. The world can speak favorably about Jesus, but at the same time, the world does not want to get too close. What hypocrisy! The world still is not willing to receive Christ as the light. The world rejects him. The world says, we will live by our own wisdom, our own light. But what the world thinks is light is darkness without Christ. Why, in spite of us having even more revelation about Christ than the Jews of Jesus' day, do men still reject him as the light of the world? You have to go forward another page in your Bible to see the answer. John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And that's not just about the Jewish nation. That is a general statement about all men in the world in every generation. The light has come into the world, and men loved and love darkness rather than light because their deeds were, and their deeds are still today, are evil. People by nature are sinners, and as sinners they prefer the darkness to the light. Spiritually speaking, people prefer darkness to the light. They're a bit like cockroaches, which are apparently one of very few insects which prefer darkness to light. Insects like moths or flies will be attracted to a light in the darkness, but apparently cockroaches will hide from the light. And that's what people by nature are like. They flatly reject the word because they love darkness. They love what is carnal rather than the light which is spiritual and from God. It's just a simple fact of human nature. Man is born shapen in iniquity and sin, and is inclined to the darkness and will reject the light. As Christ the light is being set forth this evening, is being revealed, someone here may be unmoved by him. He makes no impression upon you at all. You can't perceive him, you can't comprehend him, and you prefer not to go near him, you prefer not to be challenged by him, because by nature you are a sinner, and you prefer darkness to light, so you reject the light who is Christ. And that is great loss for you, because only those who receive the light can have their sins forgiven and can escape the condemnation of God and can be reconciled to God. Rather than be a rejecter of the light, you need to become a receiver of the light. And that brings us to the third category of people in this passage. We've seen that it tells us about John the Baptist as the revealer of the light. It tells us about the nation of Israel, the rejectors of the light, and the nation of Israel, in a sense, there symbolizes the darkness of this world which rejects the light. But thirdly, this passage tells us about those who are the receivers of the light. The receivers of the light. Verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There is actually some hope. When Christ came into the world, not everyone rejected him. At every stage throughout his short life, there were always a few who received him. At his birth, Herod was troubled at the news of him. But the wise men from the east were willing to believe in him. They presented expensive gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. When they found him, they fell down and they worshipped him. Then later in adult life, John the Baptist believed in him. The 12 disciples believed in him. He had other disciples who believed in him and received him. Yes, they were always in the minority, but they were there. And all of these were the privileged ones. Because they received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. What a privilege for someone to be called a child of God. And Christ gave those who believed in him that privilege. They became children of God. Among people of the world who still believe in a God of some kind, there are many who simply assume that they are children of God. But that's a very mistaken assumption. Here it says that as many as received Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Implicit in those words is another truth, and that is that those who reject Christ, to them God does not give the right to become children of God. Christ does not give them that right to become children of God. They have no right to be children of God. They are not children of God. And without them realizing it, they are children of darkness. And children of darkness belong to the evil one. They are his. And such were all of us at one time. We came into this world as children of darkness. But what we see in these couple of verses is that it is possible for a great transfer to take place, to be transferred from being a child of darkness to being a child of light. And we can't make that transfer ourselves. But Christ can and does. To those who receive him, and to receive Christ is to believe in Christ, to them he gives the right to become children of God. That is no small privilege. This is known as the doctrine of adoption. And what an adoption it is. It is an amazing adoption. Think of a young child who has parents who are abusive. And sadly, occasionally, we do hear of heart-wrenching stories of such a thing. The father is a drunkard, and each night he comes home drunk and he beats his young son for no reason, other than that he is taking his addiction out on his own son. The child has a mother who is a drug addict, and she spends most of the household money on her addiction. She even uses the family allowance from the government on her addiction rather than providing a decent daily meal for her son. The boy becomes malnourished by his mother and bruised by his father. He's thin, he's pale, he's downcast, he's without hope. But then one day, there's an intervention. The social services realise what's going on and they take custody of the child. But whilst the child is safer and better nourished, he's still not in a proper family. But then one day he's introduced to a man and a woman, a husband and wife, and their three children. The husband and wife speak softly and kindly to the boy. He starts getting to know them and to open up to them and their children. And after a period of getting to know them better, the parents adopt this boy to be one of their own. He has a new mother and father who love him unconditionally. A very different kind of father and mother from his previous father and mother. They give him all the food he needs. They give him a comfortable room of his own. They give him a bed to lie in. They give him gifts. He has brothers and sisters who treat him just as if he was their natural brother. The boy who was willing to receive this man and woman as his parents and believe in them was given the right to become their child. And that is the great privilege of all who are willing to receive Christ. To all who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, and Christ as the Word has power to do such a thing, for he is equal with the Father. Being a child of the devil is no privilege. We saw from John Bunyan's animated film last night how the devil treated the chief demon and how he treated those who were working for him. He is a cruel master. And then we saw how Christian was treated by brothers and sisters. We saw how God treated him graciously and lovingly when he became a child of God, and we saw what his final destiny was. He reached the celestial city. If you have received Christ, you are adopted into his family, and your adoption is far more precious and has far greater privileges than the best earthly adoption. You have many brothers and sisters in Christ's family. You are given many good gifts. You have a father who would never abuse you and always loves you. You have forgiveness of sins. You have reconciliation with God when before you were an enemy of God. Such are the privileges of those who are the receivers of the light. Receivers of the light, says John, are also born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We cannot work. We cannot look to someone else in order to find this light, to receive this light. We cannot by ourselves, by sheer willpower, be adopted into the family of God. Something radical needs to happen. John is speaking here about the new birth or regeneration. There needs to be a complete change of heart and mind that takes place in those who are receivers of the light. Again, I know I'm referring to Bunyan a lot this evening, but we saw how Bunyan, when he read the book, he came under conviction. He realized things were not right and that he needed a change. To get to this celestial city, he had to find the way, and he consulted with different people on his journey, and he found the way, and he was directed onto the right path that would lead there. But a change had taken place in his heart, and not even his wife could deter him. She said, "Choose between me and that path." He chose the path of light. He had a new heart, a change of heart. And John here is speaking about this change of heart. The receivers of the light, says John, are also born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They're born of God. It is God who makes them a new creature, a new person with new desires. They have new appetites, a desire to listen to God speak to them, a desire to obey God's commandments, a desire for righteousness, and a hatred for sin. The one who doesn't receive the light loves sin. But the receiver of the light is a new creature in Christ and hates sin. Do you see yourself in all of this? Have you these desires? Are you a receiver of the light? If you are, you are truly privileged. You are richer than an earthly king. Even if you feel you're not very well off in this world, to become a receiver of the light is the greatest need of all people. And if you are such a person and you have received the light, then you too can be a revealer of the light by bearing testimony to Christ the light in the world before men. Through John's testimony, some became receivers of the light. Perhaps not many, certainly not the majority, but there were some. And if you bear testimony to this same light, you too may see rejectors of the light becoming receivers of the light. And what joy there is when you see a rejecter becoming a receiver. That's part of your calling as one who has been given the right to become a child of God. Amen.